You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, this day in history, taking us back to 1964 for the Freedom Summer Murders. So, in case you're ignorant like Lachlan, you don't know what those were.
Bit rude.
They were the... it was the murder of three activists with the Congress for Racial Equality who went missing first in Mississippi, a state that had already been very much a flashpoint in the civil rights movement.
Peace of a sort is kept in Oxford, Mississippi, as troops patrol the streets and the campus of the university, scene of savage riots over the registration of a Negro student after more than a century of segregation. James H. Meredith, whose determination to obtain an education here touched off the violence, goes quietly to his first classes. He is, as always, accompanied by U.S. Marshals. The Justice Department says they will be with him as long as he needs protection, even if that be until he completes his studies in 18 months or more. Although threatening remarks continue to be directed at Meredith, there have been no physical attempts by students to reach him. Nevertheless, the Army says it is here to stay until obedience to the law of the land is firmly established.
Yes, just 2 years later, Mississippi would, along with other segregated states, see an influx of activists, including James Schwaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner, who disappeared on this day in history.
NBC News presents... Schwaney, Goodman, Schwerner. A special report on the three workers for civil rights still missing in Mississippi, and a review of the motives and forces behind those who plan to carry on the work. Now, here is NBC News correspondent Frank McGee.
First, the known facts. James Schwaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner went to Mississippi to help register Negroes as voters. It had been stressed at the training school they had just completed that their purpose was not to stage sit-ins, marches, or demonstrations. It had also been stressed that the federal government could offer them little protection. Schwaney, a 20-year-old Mississippian, was a veteran of the civil rights movement in his home state. He assisted in the training classes. Goodman, 20, a New York college student, had never participated in the civil rights movement, but a friend says Goodman could never understand how some people could be so lacking in compassion. Schwerner, 24, a seasoned New York social worker, left Mississippi, where he had worked since January, to assist in the training school at Oxford, Ohio. The first one-week training course was completed a week ago yesterday, and 175 students began drifting toward Mississippi. Last Saturday morning, June 20th, at 3:30, Schwaney, Goodman, and Schwerner left Oxford for Meridian, Mississippi. They left early, they said, because they did not want to arrive in Mississippi after dark. At 5:30, they arrived in Meridian and decided to go to Longdale, Mississippi, the next day. A Negro church, slated to become a civil rights center, had been burned in Longdale. Sunday morning, June 21st, at about 9:30, they left Meridian. Schwerner, following a routine practice, had said if they did not call or return by 4 that afternoon, something would be wrong. It's 35 miles from Meridian to Philadelphia, then 12 miles to Longdale, where the church had been burned. That afternoon, the three were seen at the church site and at the home of its lay leader. About 2:30, they headed west toward Philadelphia. At 4 o'clock, Deputy Sheriff Cecil Price says he stopped the car just inside the city limits of Philadelphia. Price says it was going 65 in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. At first, he says he did not know they were civil rights workers. He jailed them. By now, the three should have phoned in to Meridian. They had not. Around 6 o'clock, those in Meridian began calling jails in the area. About 8 o'clock, they contacted a Justice Department official, Frank Schwelb, who was in Meridian on other business. Civil rights workers say Schwelb called the jails, including the one in Philadelphia, and was told no one by the name of Schwaney, Goodman, or Schwerner was there. Deputy Price says only the jailer and his wife were in the jail while the trio was under arrest. They will not talk to newsmen. By 10 o'clock, Price says he had located a justice of the peace who fined the trio $20. Price tells what happened then.
They paid the fine, and I released them. And they escorted them to their car, and they got in their car and left. And I asked them which direction they were going. They said they were going to the Meridian, Mississippi. And at that time, I was riding in the city police car with a city policeman. We followed them several blocks and saw that they were headed toward Meridian, Mississippi, down Highway 19 South. At that time, we turned around and came back to inside the city of Philadelphia. And that's the last time we saw any of them.
The three had last been seen heading southeast on Highway 19 about 10:30 Sunday night. On Tuesday at 3 p.m., the FBI, acting on a tip from Indians at the Choctaw Reservation, found what remained of the station wagon on Highway 21, northeast of Philadelphia. The car was in a marshy area about 50 feet off the road. It had been gutted by fire. The Mississippi Highway Patrol said there were no bullet holes. The car was taken to a Philadelphia and locked in a garage where FBI experts have been examining it. They've disclosed nothing. Discovery of the car intensified the search for the men. More FBI agents and Mississippi police were assigned to the operation, augmented by 200 sailors from a nearby base. Part of the search has been along a gravel road, State Highway 492, that connects the other two highways and along which the men may have driven or been driven.
Yes, the victims remained missing for around 2 months as their bodies were searched for by the FBI and local authorities. So neither of these were particularly sympathetic to the cause of the civil rights activists.
Shocking.
All right, Lachlan, I thought I was just doing my thing uninterrupted there, but no. The cause of civil rights seen by figures such as Mississippi Governor Ross Barnett as disrespectful of Southern traditions.
It's sorry for any children, any youngsters whose parents do not insist that they stay away from other states, trying to tell the people of other states how to conduct their affairs because they do not know what it's all about. And it's pitiful that parents haven't trained their children in the way that they should have. They ought to stay at home and work. They ought to stay at home and tend to their own business. And we will treat anyone with great respect here in Mississippi. Anyone who comes here, as long as they do not disobey our laws. But we will treat the people who come here, these children, like any other backward children should be treated. And I'd call them backward children. I don't pull any punches on that.
Backward usually means deficient in mental capacities.
No, not that. They just haven't been properly trained. That's the trouble with them. Their hearts and minds have not been molded in the right direction. And they're going to find that out, and you're going to find it out.
That was part one of The Stay in History. Part two, we'll be right back after a quick break.
It's your Kiwaha o Te Wiki, your saying of the week. This week,
Anna Tokai serves you right.
Sis, I just got out of my exam, and I think I failed.
Anna Tokai, too much Fortnite. Anna Tokai serves you right. It's your Kiwaha o Te Wiki,
brought to you by Ngā Tauira Māori, the University of Auckland Māori Students Association.
I know where you were last night.
Craig, it's not...
Am I not deep enough? I can be emotional. I can break the fourth wall.
Wink.
I know we don't have the same history together.
But I love both of you.
No! Make a choice. Me or theatre.
Live for Drama, take some stage direction from our resident theatre expert. What's on and what's good on the Auckland stage? 9 a.m. every Friday on Breakfast. Stage direction with Johanna Cosgrove, brought to you by the Vic Devonport.
Yes, we now return to This Day in History. When we left off, three civil rights activists had been murdered and their bodies were eventually found by the FBI. So when the case went to trial, several of the defendants were convicted, including Cecil Price, who was the deputy sheriff, who was actually in that clip I played before. But several were acquitted, including a preacher and sawmill owner, Edgar Ray Killen, who was finally convicted more than 40 years later.
It's one of the saddest chapters of the civil rights era. In 1964, three activists in Philadelphia, Mississippi, were ambushed and shot to death, allegedly by members of the Ku Klux Klan. The killings, dramatized in the 1988 movie Mississippi Burning, never brought murder charges, that is, until today. And tonight, three Stevenson High School students are being hailed for their documentary that sheds new light on that case. A 1967 trial in federal court convicted seven alleged Klan members for conspiracy, but murder charges were never filed.
We can never bring the three men back, but we can seek justice.
Today at the Neshoba County Courthouse, 79-year-old Edgar Ray Killen was charged with three counts of murder. The former Klan leader pleaded not guilty.
You better shut up, buddy.
The media attention angered some at the courthouse, among them a man who says he is Killen's brother. Prosecutors say no further arrests are planned, which worries some victims' families.
I'm still concerned whether or not Killen is going to be used as a scapegoat to protect the rich and powerful individuals that was involved in this murder.
Here at home, three Stevenson High School students were getting accolades for their role in publicizing the case.
We immediately connected with it. We thought that, you know, there are three of them and there are three of us, and they were only a few years older than we are.
Sarah Siegel, Allison Nichols, and Brittany Saltiel, along with their teacher, Barry Bradford, spent more than a year working on a documentary about the killings.
We wanted to, first of all, get people aware and make sure that people really did want this case reopened.
Their project included a rare phone interview with Killen.
As much as, you know, the attention is really great for the case and everything, it's a lot. It's a really different experience.
The film also helped generate a congressional resolution last June asking federal prosecutors to reopen the case.
They were attracted not so much to the complexity of the topic, but to the simpleness of it. This is a very simple matter of right and wrong, and they wanted to be on the right side.
We should note Professor Bradford interviewed Killen. Investigators did not allow the three teens to do so. Also, Illinois Congressman Mark Kirk congratulated the students today. He plans to recognize their accomplishments on the House floor when Congress reconvenes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.